Well, evening, folks. We are looking at August 18th, the last free night I have before school officially gets started. Let's look at number 10 here. We're looking at what we get out of doing right, and what we get in Philippians 4:6 is we get peace. And really, it's kind of like peace no matter what. And as I was looking at this, kind of getting ready for this thing, let's go to verse 6. And you know, people almost kind of mocking and saying, we've probably done this too. We say to somebody, well, that sounds like a really tough issue. We don't know what to do for somebody. We don't know what to say to somebody. We don't know how to deal with it. You know, it's such a messed up thing nowadays. And the modern Christian says, well, just pray about it. And we go, yeah, right, okay. Well, yeah, we are supposed to pray about stuff. We really are. But the modern Christian says, oh, if you just pray about it, God will answer your prayer with a yes, no, or maybe. That kind of stuff. No, I don't see that. What I see here is he tells us to pray about it. And when you pray about it, there's a reason for it. He's not going to send you the simple solution, because we all know the simple solution to all of our problems is money. If we all just had more money, we could buy our way out of our problems, and everybody would be hunky-dory happy. Although that love of money is what destroys everybody, but I know money can't buy happiness, but it sure would be fun to have while you're miserable. He says here in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, what do we get? We get peace. By what? By praying. Now, here's why. Because he starts the whole thing off where he says, be careful for nothing. You know, just don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Talk to God about it. Tell him about it. Talk to him. It's a request. Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. Who can you tell that would have the capabilities of dealing with it? Well, God. And is he or isn't he? Well, you read your scriptures, you find out what the situation is, you find out that you're just in a mess, and you haven't got a job, you know, and the list just goes on and on. Like next week, we're going to be talking about suicides. Well, people that are in a suicidal manner have really run out of solutions, and they don't know what to do. And you're going to tell them, why don't you just pray about it? Well, why? Because we just have to trust that we're telling the God of the universe, you know, we're just talking to him about it. And that in itself is supposed to give us the peace of God. Because he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Maybe we're just crying and begging, you know. Thanksgiving for what? Well, thanks for buying me the car. No, thank him for all the stuff that we realize he's done through Paul's teachings about imputation, about the spirits of circumcision. We all that stuff. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about, suicide, is people don't even have, they have no clue about their real standing, their real situation in their lives because of God. So he says, be careful for nothing. Let your request be made known unto God. It doesn't say a prayer. It says, make requests known, be made known unto God. Talk to him. Just talk to him, you know. And if you do that, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what it's all about. So doing the right thing, well, the right thing, one of the right things is not to sweat stuff out, but to pray. And there's your peace. Because you've talked to somebody more important than anybody else. You've talked to him. You've talked to God. Now, along the same lines, go down to verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Because see, if we actually learned that stuff, again it says, learned, received, and heard and seen in Paul, seen in me, do. You do those things, and will you have the peace of God? No, peace of God comes from praying. The God of peace is what you'll have. It makes it, if you're not careful, it looks at that and you say, well, see, give this to a lost person, and it says, those things which Paul does, if I do those things, learn, receive, hear, and see, and do the things that Paul did, if I imitate Paul, well, then I'll have the God of peace. But you got to remember that It says, ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, which includes being taught about true salvation, which includes of the risen Savior, then yes, you are receiving the God of peace from Paul. He's our only apostle. He's not of the first 12. So we turn to Paul, and he will show us how to have the God of peace. Well, how do we have the God of peace? By doing what we have learned and received and heard and seen in Paul. And that includes learning about true salvation. Learning about the risen Savior. Okay, so there's two of the things. You have the peace of God by praying, and you have the God of peace by following Paul. Just by doing the right things. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Just back a couple little skinny pages here. Ephesians chapter 4. We're looking at something else that we get out of doing the right thing. Doing the right thing, of course, meaning following Paul. I probably should be saying that more than I do here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Say, did I click all this stuff to get started? I sure hope I did. Yeah, I did. Okay. Just dawned on me. Did I click the right clickers here? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, he says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay, so we will not only show evidence that we're not ashamed of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, we will not only show evidence that we are not ashamed of Paul, but we will actually show evidence that we are a new person. We are a new man. And this is where they come up with this born-again junk. Well, it's like you've been born again. No, I wasn't born again. That's the nation of Israel. You know, Nicodemus was being told by Jesus that it's a nation of Israel. You know, that's what that's all about. So we're not born again. The only other time born again is being mentioned is in 1 John, where the nation is born again because they were born the first time, Genesis 12, and they need to get their nation together, be born again. It's all about the Jewish stuff. That's a Jewish thing right there. Paul talks about being quickened, made alive. It's not being born again. It's finally being born. You're quickened. You're made alive from death to life. So before you have life, you've been dead. You've been connected and touched and tightened up to your sins and iniquity in your flesh. The concept of born again, I guess, is there, but it's just. I remember thinking everybody says born again. Lutherans, Catholics, Baptists, everybody, Pentecostals, everybody's saying this thing. There has to be something wrong with that. If everybody calls everybody born again now. Catholic, you're born again if you're a member of the church. You know, they know how to use this ecumenical terminology. Nobody yet says quickened. Have you been quickened? Have you received the faith of Jesus Christ? There's our questions for him. Anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, showing evidence of the new man that you are supposed to be. In other words, yeah, when you truly trust Christ and follow Paul, yeah, you should dress differently. You don't need to dress like they do. Your music should change eventually. Your attitude, your language. I mean, go through Titus. Yeah, we should be different. We should not be what we are. And I know that one of the things that we have to do to have friends, because one of the problems for suicide is we get very lonely, is we will do what we have to do to have friends. We will toss out Paul. We don't have to toss out Jesus because everybody out there says they know Jesus and they're Christians. So you don't have to toss out Jesus. You can wear a cross on your necklace. You know, you can have a tattoo of Christ on your arm. We can do all that kind of stuff, you know. But going to Paul will be one that will give you a chance to show that you're different. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Boy, this room is hot and stuffy. 2 Timothy 2:22, it says here, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. See, there's a tough one right there. Peace. And how do you have peace? You pray. You be careful for nothing. And follow Paul's stuff, do the right stuff, you're the God of peace. And the peace that these guys, this modern people come up with, they kind of ignore righteousness. They talk about their faith. They change charity to love. Peace means you love everybody and just hug everybody and all that kind of weird, crazy people. You know. But Paul does tell us, flee also youthful lusts. Follow after righteous faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's the new man. That's the new person that we're supposed to be. And we show evidence of that when we do, you know, we change those things in our life. And are we ashamed of the Paul stuff? Do we want to have friends? Do we want to make enemies? This is tough stuff out there. Okay. Now let's go to Philemon. Let's go to Philemon 6. Something else that will come out of us doing the right thing as such is the fact that we will show others that Christ and Paul, and I like this phrasing, have entered into our lives. This kind of ties into the other one about not being ashamed, but where he says here in verse 6 that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. I mean, your testimony is going to be real to people by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? Here's what we tend to do. People tend to say that they like what you're doing. It's okay why you're doing what you're doing and whatever it is, but you won't tell them that it's part of being a Christian. Not that they want to hear it. And how would you say something? Well, it's because I'm a Christian. No, it gets into discussions, and you have to know when to say things and what to say and all that stuff. But your testimony is by what you wear, by what people see you. They see you behave. They see where you go. So that faith is communicated effectually by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. It's still because of Him. You have your hair the way it is because of Christ. Or do you? You wear what you wear because of Christ. Or is it just a style? You don't go some places because you just don't want to go there because of Christ. Or do you really want to go there? And you just know it'll burn? It's not a big deal. It's my problem, not yours. You know, that kind of thing. Then we can go down the list. You've got a long list on the notes you'll see when you look them up. Let's go to Ephesians 2:10. There's a lot of things to talk about. People will see that Christ and Paul have entered your life. We look at people by going by the scriptures. We can tell that the Antichrist has entered their life. That's the difficult thing. To tell them that? Yeah, right. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained before, would have before ordained that we should walk in them. And if we do that, then that's showing that we are walking the way God would have us to walk. That's the testimony He wants us to present. Does that make sense? I know, it's the same thing. It's all about the walk, and you're probably tired of that kind of stuff. But there's a long list of verses on here that we just have to recognize the fact that we want to show that Paul has affected our life, not just Christ. Well, it's the risen Savior that's affecting our life. Yes, but in order for us to hear from the risen Savior, we have to learn from Paul, King James Bible, rightly divided. And what makes people mad, it's not because you're a Christian. Because God, you know, Christ loves everybody. He doesn't care what you wear. Doesn't care where you go. Well, I'm sorry to say, but yeah, He actually does, you know. Well, how do you know that? Because you look to Paul. And so when you do what you do and it irritates them, that's because they're getting irritated by Paul's teachings, which is teachings of the risen Savior. And if you ever have the moment to say to somebody, you believe that Jesus Christ rose, right? Died and rose again? Sure, of course we do. Well, I don't understand why you're making such a big thing of it. Because when he rose, this is what he taught Paul to teach to me that would actually please him. So this is why I wear what I wear. Do you tell people that? Or, well, I'm just fat. And so this is, it covers me up and all that kind of stuff. Well, I know it's going to happen in 5 years. Okay, let's go to another. Let's go to number 14 here. And let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4 again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. If we do a couple right things here and there, we try to do the right thing, benefit from it, we benefit from the fact that we have a walk that is worthy to how God created us to walk. And the word is worthy. Ephesians 4, 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Period. That shows that we can actually, you know, a lot of the Bible guys are just thrive on the fact that they're not worthy, so they don't even try to be. Well, according to what Paul teaches here, we actually can be worthy. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm not saying that we are. I'm just saying the possibility is there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, see, that's a pretty good thing. Tie that in with Ephesians 4:1. Walk worthy of the vocation with ye are called. Walk worthy. Ephesians 2:10, we just read it a minute ago. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. Now, this is his workmanship since we've been saved. This is not before, this is after. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, this is what he said a long time ago, that we should walk in them. And if you do, you're actually walking worthy. Not pridefully, not arrogant, but just, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter, I'm going one page at a time here. Sorry. Page, mine is still thin. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, that the God, again, back to talking about scriptures, that the man of God may be perfect, meaning completed, you know, throughly furnished unto all good works. It's our job, it's our vocation, really, to walk the way Paul instructs us to walk. And it's not a law, it's not legalism. All things are lawful. The problem is it's just not expedient to wear that. You're going to cause somebody to stumble, or to go there, or to do this, or do that. Drink this, eat, you know. You're going to cause someone to stumble. And if you do, you're actually not walking worthy of what Christ should have you walk, because, yeah, you can do that, but don't cause somebody to stumble when you do it. Okay. That was 14 things, if I did it right here, 14 things that benefit us from doing the right thing. Now, let's finish this thing up with Isaiah chapter 32, and we'll see where this is leading us to. Isaiah chapter 32, which is before Jeremiah, good old Jeremiah. Isaiah chapter 32, let's go down to verse 17. Now, we all remember the fact that righteousness is God's righteousness. But we actually have some of ours as well. If we do the right thing, that's what will be put to the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, so we recognize that. We realize that. He says in Isaiah 32 that the work of righteousness shall be peace. Again, that's what Paul says. You know, if you're doing the right thing, you'll have the God of peace. And don't worry about stuff. Be careful for nothing. Pray. Talk to me. And then you'll have a peace. It says in Isaiah 32:17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. So the work of Christ's righteousness in us is peace. The work of righteousness in the Old Testament, if they did the right walk and they walked the law like they were told, they would have peace. If they didn't, they had to go off and kill a bunch of animals and shed their blood, etc. But we have Christ's righteousness in us. So the work of his righteousness in me, in us, shall be peace. And then it goes on, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance. So, knowing that we have Christ's righteousness imputed to us, and knowing that we are trying, and we probably succeed once in a while, if not more often, to do the right thing, even though we get hassled for it, even though our parents yell at us, even though our neighbors don't want to see it, even though our friends don't understand it, even though the workplace says you can't do that, and you get people mad at you for what you're doing, or not doing, more likely, you still should have a peace because it's a work of righteousness in your life. And the effect of doing the right thing and the effect of Christ's righteousness in our lives is quietness and assurance. And he says in verse 18, "And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places." So we know what he's talking about here in prophetical preaching here. But we can have that kind of peace in our lives spiritually, mentally. "And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation." Well, we're not living in a peaceable habitation. This whole suicide sermon coming up next week is because so many people are so distraught. And where's this peaceable habitation? It's inside us. It's that peace that we have. It's the kingdom of God. It's the spiritual kingdom. Because we're walking, we're trying to walk the right way. And when we mess up, he says, okay, you fell, get up and keep going again. Now, you may be shamed and embarrassed, and you may never get over it. And you should be shamed and embarrassed if something happens to where you either exposed yourself or were seen by somebody else doing something you wish they hadn't seen you. They'll never let you forget it. You know that. Jeremiah, his family was always looking for him to trip up. And Jesus himself says, you have no honor in your own country. So if they know you, they know what you're really like. They just don't like the new person. But you're the one that's supposed to have peace because of what you're doing. And an assurance. And you should be living in this peaceable habitation inside you. That's a quiet resting place, is inside us. When you're by yourself, you just quietly rest. That's just the way it is. And even when you're up amongst the crowd out there doing the stuff that they're doing, like I'm into school here, whatever, I've got a peaceable habitation in me. And if we could get the grip on this thing, that would take care of a lot of suicidal situations, actually. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. Then we'll finish up with Romans chapter 7, because we know Paul had battles all the time. But Paul knew, and he said to himself, hey, you know what, self? It isn't me that's doing this stuff. It's the sin that's in me. And Paul hated it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body full of death, full of sin? He tried to do the right thing. In fact, he would say, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. In verse 19 there. So he's got that battle. And yet Paul had victory after victory. But Paul was hated for it too. And it was tough. Which actually leads us next week into the suicide stuff. And we'll be looking to Paul to explain this stuff. This whole thing got started. What do you tell somebody from a Bible, using your Bible, what do you tell somebody who is wanting to commit suicide, or extremely suicidal, or on the verge right at that moment to commit suicide? What do you tell them? God loves you? They don't buy that. I mean, you know, pray about it. Have you prayed? Well, yeah, it'd be nice if they'd stop and pray. But they got to have a rightly divided King James Bible to get the answers. And if they knew what Christ had done to them and for them, they might not be in that suicidal situation. So it sounds like a simple sermon, but it really isn't. Because the reality of it, somebody who's in a suicidal mode, they're pretty tough. They're pretty tough to talk to. I've heard from a couple that are actually Bible-believing Christians that go through that fear, that desire, because of some really tough, difficult things in their lives. So I'm not sure what that sermon is going to be all about, other than it's about suicide, but we'll deal with it, and we'll see what comes up with it during the week, and hope it can be an encouragement to somebody, especially somebody who's leaning towards suicidalness, and can get up there with the risen Savior and Paul and his teachings in a King James rightly divided Bible. But man, when you need a job and you're dying, or you're in debt or whatever, you got $20,000 to $30,000 in debt, or you got this, whatever going on, and you're healthy, you're in pain, and you got no friends, blah, 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 blah. You know, you have a tendency to want to check out. Well, checking out is not the right thing to do. It could cause somebody to stumble. It's not expedient. It doesn't edify anybody. And if you have a power, how do you do that to yourself? You know? Is it going to lose your salvation like the Catholics teach? No. But we'll save all that for next week. So that concludes the benefits of doing the right thing. And I hope that was encouraging enough to, when the time comes to choose right or wrong, publicly especially, you'll choose the right thing. But you know the peace is going to be inside you, not outside you. But that's okay. That's what Paul preaches.